We do not get a chance to talk about snorkeling much on the exchange. It tends to be a pursuit for warm tropical waters, and you need only stand on Highway 101 and look west for a few moments to realize that the Pacific Ocean is neither warm nor tropical where we live. Today's guests lived in the Rogue Valley for 15 years and apparently needed to indulge their passion for snorkeling and decamped for Maui. They're now back in Oregon with a shiny new book in hand. It's a book packed with information and photographs about their passion. It's called Mask, Fins, and Snorkel, The Adventure Guide to Maui's Best Snorkeling. Rich Schieber, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Good to talk to you this morning.
And Sharon Schieber, welcome to you as well.
Hi, that's quite a forecast you guys are having there. I'm kind of glad I'm missing out on that.
Yes, I should explain, you live in Salem now, so just somewhat removed from the Jefferson Exchange listening area, but happily removed today with that forecast, yes.
For sure.
So tell us your stories. Rich, I understand you're a professional photographer. You guys did live in the Rogue Valley in the Grants Pass area for about 15 years. Why depart?
Well, we loved Southern Oregon. We really loved Southern Oregon, but we had traveled to Maui several times, and just we were bit with the snorkel bug, and we thought, you know, if there's an opportunity to do it, let's try it. We put our house on the market, it sold, and we decided to head over there, just try the adventure, and we really enjoyed it. We packed everything up into a shipping container and got our dogs ready, our two dogs ready with shots, and off we went. And it was just a great adventure. Really enjoyed ourselves.
And Sharon, did you guys see it as a finite adventure when you first set out?
Well, we just weren't sure. You know, nothing is ever permanent in my mind, but I thought, let's give it a go. Rich was definitely the one that was a little tired of rainy weather here and was just like, I need a break from this. And so when we sold our house, we're like, you know what, no time for like the present. Let's just do it and try it out and see what we think. So it was a great adventure.
So, Rich, why come back from paradise? Had you exhausted your resources over there?
While it's a great place to visit and it is a lot of fun to live there, it's really the island is very small and you become acutely aware that you're a long ways away from anything. And to go anywhere, you really have to hop on a plane. And we began to miss Oregon. And as much as we enjoyed ourselves, we missed Oregon and wanted to get back to the beauty that Oregon offers, and then also the proximity of being close to family.
I have been down-talking the prospect of snorkeling in Oregon and California, but you can set me straight if I'm wrong here. I mean, I assume it's not something that's done very much in the waters of this area.
It really isn't, and it has to do with the water so cold. And I dive also, but I haven't spent a lot of time diving off the Oregon coast simply because when it comes to cold waters, I'm not the best. I tend to get cold very quickly. So warm tropical waters offer something that Oregon doesn't in terms of the amount of time you can stay out there. But Oregon has some beautiful sights to see.
So, Rich, how much snorkeling had you guys done in Maui? I mean, how long had it gone on in years before you decided to go ahead and move there?
We'd been traveling over there for about 7 years, and we're snorkel fanatics, really. We'll go into the water and we'll be out there for an hour to 2 hours. You just get drawn in, and we take underwater photos, and you start seeing things, and you want to get a shot, and you work on that shot, and before you know it, an hour's gone by. Really, the only reason I would get out is I would start to become somewhat of a prune, and I would get so cold. And we wear shorties, which are, it's kind of a modified wetsuit, and even then in tropical waters, you do tend to lose your body heat, and you have a need to get back on shore and try to warm up.
You ready to answer? Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and Rich isn't exaggerating. I swear he can spend an hour taking a picture of an octopus. Sometimes I just decide to go on and look for other things while he's otherwise occupied.
Sharon, was it something that Rich had started first and then you adopted much later, or did you get into it together?
Well, Rich is a fantastic swimmer. He has been since he was a kid. He just is so at home in the water. And I actually did not know how to swim the first time we were ever in Maui. And, you know, just really, quite honestly, terrified of the water. And we decided to take my life vest with us the next time we went over there, and that just changed the world for me. I completely felt comfortable just knowing that I didn't have to worry about the sinking or drowning part. So So, and then after a couple of times, it was like, you know, I really need to learn how to do this. I always wanted to learn how to swim. And so finally I took some lessons and, you know, much more comfortable in the water now. But I still wear my life vest.
Ah, good. Well, it gives you that sense of security, I guess, doesn't it?
Oh, completely. Anybody that's ill at ease at all in the water, if you're going to go snorkel, just wear a vest because you'll just have so much more fun that it's just not even a thought in your head. It's because you're just kept up high enough out of the water and just feel super safe. And for us, it's really nice, too, because, you know, like Rachel said, we'll be out there for like 2 hours. And, you know, a lot of people would get pretty tired at that point. And for me, I'm just floating on the top, feeling just fine. So,
does it make it impossible for you to dive down and look at things a little closer, or just hard?
That's the one thing that I don't do. I don't dive down, but I'm happy on the top of the water.
Right. We're talking about snorkeling in Maui with Rich and Sharon Schieber of Salem. Their book is Mask, Fins, and Snorkel, The Adventure Guide to Maui's Best Snorkeling. And we'll come back and talk more with Rich and Sharon and take your phone calls and emails. Maybe you have some snorkeling stories you'd like to share with us. Join us on The Exchange when we return, back with Rich and Sharon and you in a minute 15. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guests today are Rich and Sharon Schieber of Salem, Oregon. They are former Rogue Valley residents who decamped, sold their house in the Grants Pass area, moved to Maui, and pursued their love of snorkeling and came back to Oregon with a book called Mask, Fins, and Snorkel, The Adventure Guide to Maui's Best Snorkeling, a lavishly photographed book with slick pages and lots of information here. Join us on The Exchange to talk about their book, to talk about snorkeling in Maui or snorkeling anywhere. Maybe you've done it. You might have questions as well. Join us on The Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere you can hear us. In the Rogue Valley, it's 541-552-6782. And our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Rich, you already answered one of the questions I had about spending too much time in the water snorkeling. You do get pruney after a while, it turns out.
Yeah, you really do.
Huh. And so how many hours a day is it the kind of thing you can do?
Well, particularly in Maui, the best snorkeling is to be found in the mornings. Once the winds kick up, the water gets, the waves really start to build, the water gets churned up, and then your visibility decreases substantially. So it's best to go early in the day, except for, say, if you want to go snorkeling in the afternoon, you have to look for those areas that are sheltered from the wind. Say Honolulu Bay in West Maui, or Coral Gardens, another area in Maui that they're sheltered by cliffs and so forth, and you can kind of beat the turbidity and wind issue that you get usually in later parts of the day in other parts of Maui.
Oh, turbidity too. So once the waves start kicking up, you start getting cloudier water?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
So, Rich, did someone teach you the finer points, or are you largely self-taught in snorkeling?
We are completely self-taught in snorkeling, photography, writing, book design, everything. It's been a DIY project, and it's been an adventure in itself also. We started taking pictures, working with pictures, and it's funny, you mentioned, is it difficult to dive down? I actually have to wear a weight belt in order to stay down to capture a picture of an eel or an octopus, and it was really trial and error. And the neat thing about cameras today is...
Trial and error, but not too much error because you're still here.
Yeah. The neat thing about cameras today, with digital cameras, you could just take multiple shots, and you may take 200-300 shots, but out of those, 4 or 5 may be really good. And it was simply just a trial and error process and self-teaching.
And what kind of camera, I'm curious, because I know that for back in film days, the Nikona seemed to be the best underwater camera, but we're past film days now.
Yes, we shoot both above water and below water with Nikons, but the Nikon that I use for underwater isn't a particularly fancy camera. I mean, you can spend thousands of dollars on cameras, but it's not a particularly fancy camera, but you have to have underwater housing for this type of camera. There are point-and-shoot cameras that are made to be able to take underwater and take shots. The difficulty there is you have what's called shutter lag. Once you press the shutter release button, there's a delay between when that occurs and the camera actually takes a picture. And to account for that, if you kind of anticipate where the fish is going to go, you try to shoot a little ahead of the fish, and that way you don't just wind up with a picture of a tail.
Right.
And that part's really tricky because you've got all that movement going on too in the water. You know, you're always getting bounced around or currents kind of are moving you. So that is why it oftentimes takes quite a few shots to like get that perfect one.
And anybody who knows about the shutter lag, I mean, from the point-and-shoot cameras, you've taken lots of pictures of cats and dogs where you just see their tail end because they're leaving the camera range, too. Yeah, I can see where that would become an issue. Let's talk about the basic equipment, then, which is actually the title of the book. And, Rich, you say in the book that if you were had to get stuck on an island, you might just choose those three things rather than food and water and a place to sleep.
The beauty of snorkeling is all you really need are mask, fins, and a snorkel. And you don't have the heavy equipment of scuba diving, and you can just walk off the beach and then spend hours transfixed by the sea creatures underneath the surface. And I just find that so rewarding and beautiful. It just means something so special. You get to see nature and part of the world that on land we don't get a chance to see.
And so so let's talk about the actual process of snorkeling. For folks who've never, ever done it, you've got the mask and the snorkel goes up behind you, so you can actually breathe with your face just in the water.
Yes, yep. Mm-hmm. The thing about a mask, when people are looking for a mask to wear, it's if you're over in, say, Maui or another tropical destination, you want to rent some gear, the real tip to getting a good mask is you take your mask, place it on your face, breathe in, and bend over. If the mask stays on your face, you've got a good seal, and you won't have water leaking in there. And that's really, as long as it's comfortable, that's really what you'll need to see underwater. And then a pair of fins to, you know, propel yourself through the water, and the snorkel to breathe while you're floating on top of the water.
Okay, and then we start to add the accessories. And one of the things I noticed that is highly recommended is something to keep your mask from fogging up on you.
I always use anti-fog gel. A lot of people say, well, you just use spit or, oh, you don't need it. But to be honest with you, if you're out there for any length of time, the temperature differential between your face and the water has a tendency to make the mask fog up. And I always use fog gel and anti-fog gel, and it works extremely well. I highly advise anybody who's going to spend any time snorkeling to use it. It just makes the experience that much better. You're out there to see things, and it's difficult to see things if you've got a sheen of fog across the glass.
What is the general water temperature there?
I want to say it varies, but it can be as warm as 80 degrees, mid-80s. The difficulty is, depending on where you're snorkeling, you can have fresh water coming up creating colder areas. Truly the best time to visit Maui as far as water temperature is late summer or into the fall. October is just fantastic because the water is really warm, and I've found that I can spend more time out snorkeling in October than I can any other time of the year.
That's bathwater warm, 80 degrees. That's amazing. Compared to about 50 degrees for most of the waters that we know off of our shores here.
I have to add, this is kind of funny. We had our dogs over there, and they got to where they just love jumping in the ocean. And then we got back over here. You could just tell they're like, what? What's this?
Came out of the water a little surprised, did they?
Yeah, I think they get used to that nice warm bath water.
Let's take a call. We have Mark and Grants Pass on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking snorkeling in Maui with Rich and Sharon Schieber. Hi, Mark.
Are you calling Mark?
Yes.
Oh, hi. Yeah, this is Mark from Grants Pass. I actually lived on Maui for 10 years, and now I live in Oregon. And I would hate for them to discourage snorkeling over here. There's wonderful snorkeling. You got the Marine Preserve, Crescent City. I know you need a wetsuit there, but with the way they build wetsuits now, you could stay out there for hours and not even get cold. And then you also, without a wetsuit, you have the Applegate, the Illinois, the Lower Rogue. There's really some really cool snorkeling just here in Josephine County. People don't, you know, sometimes we'll go out there and it'll be, you know, you might have a dozen snorkelers out there.
So, and the rivers for sure. Okay, that makes sense. Let's talk about the ocean stuff though, Mark, because how long can you stay out there with a wetsuit? I'm curious.
I've been out there for 2 hours. Don't even get cold.
Really?
Yeah. See, I mean, the materials they use now, they're a lot thinner, so you can move around so much more now. And I know it costs more because you have to invest in that material, but the beauty of the Oregon coast and Northern California coast, I mean, you're missing out a lot if you don't try and snorkel, do a little bit around here, too.
And
you can rent this truck. You can go down and rent everything.
I totally agree with him. Something that we really enjoyed in Maui, just loved, we had a kayak over there, and we'd kayak snorkel all the time. And we keep saying now, Rich has a wetsuit, but I don't, that we look at the water over, you know, when we go over to the beach, sometimes it'll just be almost flat out on the Oregon coast, and we both are looking at each other like, we should have our kayaks. So he's totally right about checking out the waters here, too. And Rich, of the two of us, is really cold sensitive. It's kind of funny. I'm always the warm one, and he's the cold one. So, but I need to get that wetsuit, and we really do need to give it a try here, too, and definitely kayak snorkeling would be beyond phenomenal, I think, here.
Snorkeling is the topic here in the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Rich and Sharon Schieber of Salem, former Rogue Valley residents who moved to Maui for a couple of years and put together a lot of information that ended up in their book, Mask, Fins, and Snorkel, The Adventure Guide to Maui's Best Snorkeling. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Give us more details, like Mark just did, about the places to snorkel in our region. Our phone number is here, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. It's pretty interesting, Rich, because what Sharon was just saying indicates that different people look at the ocean with different eyes, and it sounds like when you guys get out there, rather than think like a lot of people, ooh, pretty waves, or gee, it's nice out here, it's like, ooh, look, we could snorkel over there.
And that's true. It's the thought going through my mind is, what's out there? What's underneath the surface that I could be watching? And I agree with Mark in that the Oregon coast has a lot to offer, but on a personal level, I just get cold really quickly. Mm-hmm. So that's why I haven't spent much time snorkeling on the Oregon coast. Now, the Illinois River is great. I scuba dive there a lot. The Applegate is such a beautiful place. I grew up swimming in the Rogue River. So the rivers I can handle, they're warmer, but on a personal level, I just get chilly. I still want to do it, but I know I won't be able to stay out there as long as I can when I'm over in Maui.
Okay, so bathwater aside, let's talk about some of the factors that make Maui such a great place to snorkel. I mean, that's obviously a big one for you, but let's talk about some of the other features that might not be apparent to people who are just spending their time at the beaches.
Well, one of the neat things that I really enjoy over there are the sea creatures. I'm particularly fascinated with eels, coming upon an octopus, turtles. It's just, you start looking around, and there's just so much to see. And as far as snorkeling tips that we give in the book, one of the things I always try to point out is think small, because there are big creatures that are very fascinating and wondrous, but the tiny creatures that you see can be just as amazing. It's just the intricate designs on them. It leaves you in wonder and awe.
And you have some ideas in here, a whole section, in fact, on reef care. What are some of the basic points of reef care?
Well, it's really important not to touch the coral. The oils from your skin can damage the coral, and coral is a very corals are very delicate creatures, and if they start to, I guess, be damaged, it's very difficult for them to regenerate, and it takes a long time for that to occur. And when people are in Maui, you have over 2.5 million people visiting yearly, and if you have that type of impact on an environment, it could be it can have a very bad impact over the duration. We encourage people not to touch the coral. Make sure that if they're having difficulty swimming, not to stand on coral, but instead to prepare ahead of time and use a flotation device.
The section on reef care kind of blew me away, though, when you talk about how much sunscreen washes off of snorkelers.
Yes, that's, you know, it's kind of a delicate issue, because going out of the sun. You want to protect yourself. At the same time, you don't want that sunscreen to wash off and impact the coral or the other sea life. There's a general rule that they encourage people to, if you're going to put sunscreen on, put it on a half an hour before you go out into the water. There are also sunscreens that are less damaging to the environment, and we encourage people to use those also.
All right, the number, I forget what the number was, but it was an astounding amount of sunscreen that just ends up washing off in the ocean from not just snorkels, obviously, but all kinds of swimmers and water users, too.
Yeah, they estimate anywhere from 4,000 to 6,000 metric tons of sunscreen. So, yeah, it's not a good thing. And I do remember, you know, sitting at Honolulu Bay and seeing people just slathering up, and then they jump right in. And half of that's just, well, more than half is just coming right off of them. So it is a really wise idea to put it on in advance or wear more protective clothing so you're more covered up and you're going to stay warmer and you can stay out there longer and not get burned, okay. Which is really easy to have happen when you're out there snorkeling, especially your backside.
Right, because you're facing down the whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, given the cautions about reef care, then what kind of shape are the reefs of Maui in today?
They actually are in pretty good shape. There are areas where you come across and you'll see that there's been, I'd say, too much activity, and the reefs, coral heads, and so forth, are showing impacts. But by and large, they are in very good shape. Thankfully, Maui and the Hawaiian Islands are way out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, so they're not getting impacted as much by a lot of the things that, say, the Caribbean islands, which have shallower waters, are being impacted with. However, it's as development occurs, there is the threat of runoff, and that can impact the environment, but they are trying to do things to mitigate those issues.
All right. So for the folks who are heading into the water, looking at the reefs, looking at the fish, all sorts of things that are just great to see down there. I mean, before somebody goes in the water the first time, you mentioned, Rich, that you were 100% self-taught, both you and Sharon. What are the things that people need to know, just some basic things to keep in mind when going in for the first time?
Well, first thing I'd like to say is if anybody has any question about their swimming ability whatsoever, use a flotation device. Safety is key, and that's the number one issue with tourist problems over there has to do with water safety and people getting into trouble with not being able to deal with the conditions. Say a current comes through, they swim into an area where a current is coming through and they get into trouble. So if people have a flotation device, they're safety is much more enhanced. They can deal with being out in the water for a longer period of time, and presumably they'll be able to be rescued if they are pulled off by a current. The other thing is when you're, say, getting into the water, it's important to watch where you're headed, and you do not want to touch urchins or sea creatures that could have spines and hurt you. They have a tendency to break off, stay in the skin, and take a long time to heal.
Something I've noticed, too, a lot of times when you're over in Maui or other places, if people haven't snorkeled very much before, sometimes you'll see them, they put their fins and everything on right there on the beach, and then they start, because I've seen other people doing this, they start walking backwards into the water and kind of funny looking because you've got these huge fins on your feet. And that really isn't the best way to go about getting in the water. We always just walk out, into the water. And one thing to be aware of is watch for those breaking waves, because, boy, if they are breaking, you want to time it and kind of keep an eye on things, because waves sort of come in and out. I don't want to say on a schedule, but there's a timing to it.
And they come in sets, as you point out in the book.
Exactly. So once you get out there past those breakers, then we just flip all of our equipment on then, and it really makes it a lot easier to just flip those fins on. Once you're out there, you kind of float and put your gear on, and as soon as you can, you roll over, and you're in the water and can see what you're doing. I usually put my mask on first, and then I just go ahead and flipping my rest of my gear after that.
All right, we're talking about snorkeling specifically in Maui, but we can talk about it in other places as well if you'd like to join our conversation with Rich Schieber and Sharon Schieber. Rich is the author of Mask, Fins, and Snorkel, the adventure guide to Maui's best snorkeling. Back on the Jefferson Exchange with the Schiebers and with your phone calls and emails when we return in a minute 20. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening. We're talking today about snorkeling, not a subject we get to talk about very much on the Jefferson Exchange because, well, we live on a very cold ocean. But there are other places you can do snorkeling, as has been pointed out by at least one guest so far. You can join our discussion as we talk about snorkeling in Maui with a couple of Rogue Valley residents who moved to Maui and then came back to Oregon. Rich Schieber wrote Mask, Fins, and Snorkel, the adventure guide to Maui's best snorkeling. He's joined by his often snorkeling companion, Sharon Schieber. You can join us at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782 by email jx@jeffnet.org. We were just talking about how to get into the water. There's something about the closeness that you imply in the book, more than imply. I think you say it straight out, Rich, but about moving in harmony with what's around you. You're trying not to disturb the creatures around you. There's something about the way to move here that's very big for you, and you portray this pretty well in the book.
Yeah, one of the things that people always want to do when they're snorkeling is see fish and see creatures, and the way to do that is to try to not scare them away. So there's a lot of advice that's given in scuba diving, and that's to keep your hands at your side, and that way you're not frightening the creatures off. And then additionally, when you're propelling yourself through the water, not to be taking very heavy kicks, but gently move through the water. And if you do so, the fish and creatures have a tendency just to ignore you, and you can observe them and just really enjoy that environment.
And you really can just see so much more when you're just taking it easy and floating along instead of thinking about getting from point A to point B. And sometimes we'll see that, like maybe a snorkel tour comes in on a boat and everybody's so excited to get off the boat and start seeing things that they'll just be racing through the water like they're in the Olympics, and just you can hear people coming from a mile away just tonk, 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 tonk through the water. And it's like, wow, just slow down and take it easy and you'll just see so much more. You'll notice small things in the water, and just, boy, one particular sea creature that you can really miss if you're not paying attention are octopus, because they will land on a rock and they can just form their body to look just like a rock or the coral. The colors will change, their skin texture will change, and you can just sail right past one if you're chunking along really fast and not taking your time. And I mostly float except to just get out to where we're going. Really, you want to take it easy and keep your fins quiet and kind of kick more from your hips than from your knees, and it will just silence your movement a lot more.
So it's more of a flip than a stomp, really.
Exactly.
and Sharon already described, Rich, your preoccupation with octopi and how much time you could spend. Let's hear your version of this story now. How much time have you spent looking for a good shot of a single octopus?
I've spent hours. It's rather funny. There was one time I was sitting out there, and an hour had gone by, and if the conditions hadn't deteriorated, I would have been out there longer. I came back, and Sharon was on the beach just enjoying herself, and I think she knew that something had grabbed my attention. But the take it slow.
It happens with him all the time. It's like, okay, I'm just going to find some other things to look at because I just can't look at those octopus any longer.
They're fascinating creatures, though. The take it slow mantra that we try to push out there is so important, because you can see them if you take your time. They blend. They're masters at camouflage, and they blend in so well. I was trying to get a shot of actually two, and they would hide behind a rock and come up and look at me, because they're very curious creatures also. and two snorkelers just zipped right by, and I know had they seen them, they would have been just so excited, but had they been moving slower, they would have been able to pick them out. And it's just, it's important to go slow, and you, it really does open your eyes as far as the variety and abundance of life that you can see when you do take it slow.
Kind of like letting nature come to you instead of you charging into nature headlong.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the other...
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say another wonderful sight that everyone loves to see in Maui are the sea turtles. And they actually are pretty quite common. But we have found different places on the island where you actually can see turtle cleaning occurring, where the fish come along and they'll just eat the algae off of their shells, and that's just really fabulous. You'll see different sized ones, some that you can tell have been around forever. They're just huge. And then every once in a while you'll see a little juvenile turtle too, and they're just so darn cute. You just, and they're, I don't want to say they're friendly, and you're supposed to keep your distance, but it's amazing. Sometimes they'll just glide right past you, and it's incredible. Everybody loves to snorkel for just turtles alone, but the sights are just amazing.
Is there much variety then from place to place on Maui? I mean, can you see some radically different things on one side of the island versus the other?
I think so. I really noticed in different areas, most definitely, you'll see more turtles in certain areas, or in fact, they'll even call certain areas turtle towns. And there's some that are particularly well known, but any place where turtles kind of congregate, they'll often get the name of a turtle town. But like in the far south part of Maui, I always see yellow tangs much more there than in other places. So I think they do kind of all have their own little micro territories.
Let us take a call. We have Paul in Hydesville, California on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Rich and Sharon Schieber, the author. Rich is the author of Mask, Fins, and Snorkel, the adventure guide to Maui's best snorkeling. Hi, Paul.
Yeah, I guess. I was just wanted to ask them if they, in their interaction with the shark population up there, up your coast and in Maui.
Good question, whether they've encountered sharks. There are a good couple of pages here about sharks in the book, so walk us through that, Rich.
Yeah, in Maui, obviously there are sharks, but the majority of the sharks that you will encounter are not aggressive sharks. They do have tiger sharks, and every once in a while you do hear of an occurrence of a swimmer or snorkeler or diver encountering a tiger shark with bad outcomes. However, if you look at the statistics, you've got roughly 2.5 million people going to Maui every year, the majority of them going in the water, and very, very few encounters with sharks. So it does occur, but it isn't something to be majorly worried about and afraid of and have that impact your desire to go out into the water.
We've seen reef sharks, but we have never seen a tiger shark while we've been there.
All right. We already had a little discussion about the spiny things in the water to avoid. There was a brief discussion of rip currents, and I guess we should explain, too, that when those head straight out from shore, the best thing is to go parallel to the shore. First, don't fight it. But so let me ask both of you then, if there have been some fairly hairy moments you've had snorkeling, if you've just been generally so well prepared and discerning of conditions, you generally have not gotten in those situations.
We really haven't found ourselves in difficult situations. We're cognizant of the dangers, and we try to think ahead, so if something were to occur, we'd be ready for it. When we've snorkeled into different areas, there are fairly swift currents, but if the water is running at a rate where we don't think we can handle it, we don't venture into things.
And one thing I've always really appreciated about Rich, he does take our safety into account, I think much more than sometimes the average person. He just really pays attention to the ocean and what's going on. And sometimes I think when people go on vacation, they kind of throw caution to the wind. It's warm and sunny and the water feels great. And you just have to remember it's Mother Nature, and you just need to still keep your wits about you and assess things and make smart decisions. So I will say one time we were snorkeling in the Caribbean, and it just all of a sudden poured down rain like crazy. And the waves whipped up just out of the blue, and I had my life vest on, so I felt fine, and Rich did too, but boy, like, if ever there was a moment to see what happens after a big rainstorm, about 10 minutes later, the sediment in the water, just, it became clear snorkeling to like you could barely see in front of you because of all of the sediment coming off of the land into the water. So that was really an interesting experience just to go through that.
Wow. So you do get to experience some of the actual processes of nature while you're out there then.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So you put Honolulu Bay at the top of the list of great places on Maui. And in fact, you named your publishing company after Honolulu Bay. It's Honolulu Press. What makes Honolulu Bay so great on Maui?
Honolulu Bay is just an absolutely beautiful spot. And one of the reasons for that and the reason that it has the sea life that it does, it's a marine preserve. So there's no fishing, and you can see that when you go into the water that there are more creatures there. Additionally, it's a pretty wide expanse of area with reefs on both the north and south end, and they host just a wide range of fish and eels. It's just a beautiful, beautiful place. It's one of our favorite spots. You hike down through a jungle to get to it, and
I love the jungle.
Sunday afternoon, sitting on the rocks, just hearing the water lap against the rocks after a long snorkel, is really heaven in my book.
Are there some really challenging places in Maui too, best attempted by more experienced snorkelers?
Yes, and I'd say one of those is Coral Gardens. It's a wide expanse of reef that just seems endless when you're out there. But it's a very healthy swim to get to it, or you have to traverse a very steep and slippery trail down to it. Additionally, it's pretty remote, and if anything were to occur, you're out there, not too many people around, and there's really nobody to help you at that in that type of a situation.
I should point out the book has not just got a lot of text, but also a whole bunch of pictures and maps as well. And some of the maps in the book, and you show the water features as well as the land features, like of Olawalu. It looks like the place is all reef. So, I mean, how carefully as a snorkeler do you have to navigate that area?
Well, that's a very good question. Particularly Olawalu, the water, the inshore waters are very shallow, and there are channels that you need to follow to get out to the deeper water. And if you follow those channels, you'll be in really good shape. If you don't, you can be with waves and surge and so forth, you can easily be pushed up onto a coral head, which is not good for the coral nor yourself. So that is an area where it's not typical to other parts of Maui, and you really have to wind your way through the different channels in order to get to the areas you want to go and observe what you want to see.
Some places
it's a beautiful expanse.
I was just going to say, some places like Olawalu, we used our kayak and snorkeled out from there, which was a little tricky weaving through the coral heads to get out farther from shore. But I tell you, I am such a fan of kayak snorkeling. It's just so much fun. You can get a little bit away from things and see so much more by a kayak, and then just hop in the water whenever you feel like it to see what's under, you know, under the waves. It's just it's an incredible experience. That's probably the thing I miss most about Maui was all those kayak snorkel trips that we took. And Olawalu is a fantastic place to do that.
So, Sharon, what do you do with the kayak when you're underwater or in the water?
Rich got us a small anchor that we can use, and sometimes we'll tow it with one of us, or a lot of times, because Rich is the true fanatic, I'll stay in the kayak and just kind of kayak around him, and he'll circle away. So we've all kinds of different ways of dealing with it. But yeah, you don't want to let go of it. You got to figure out something to do with your kayak, or it'll be going to Tahiti.
Yeah, for a moment there, I thought you were going to say that you stay in the kayak and Rich just tows you along. That doesn't happen, does it, Rich?
Not too often. Usually, the neat thing about kayaks, though, is they're very light. So if both of you know, if you have a two-person kayak and you both want to snorkel, you can tow it behind you, and it doesn't. The weight of it is such that you don't even realize it's there.
And so that raises the question, though, about snorkeling from boats, because are there some parts of Maui that are accessible really best by boat?
You know, that's the great thing about Maui, and really one of the reasons we wrote the book, is that almost everywhere you want to go on Maui, you can reach from shore. And Hawaii is like Oregon in that all the beaches are public. So there's not an area where you can't go if you want to. The beaches are public, so you can access those. There's one spot, Molokini, which is a small island off of Maui that you would need to hop on a boat to get to. But all the others, you really can reach from shore.
Final question then, I guess, to make sure that we're letting the folks in our audience with a strong environmental bent, and there are many of them, know whether snorkelers in Maui are taking good care of the ocean and the landscape. Are they leaving it in good shape? Are they not trashing it, that sort of thing?
I do believe they are leaving it in good shape, by and large. You do have occasionally people who maybe aren't thinking and aren't taking that into consideration, but there's a lot of information out there and people trying to get that information out there that encourages proper reef care practices. And by and large, I believe that Maui is benefiting from that.
All right. The book is called Mask, Fins, and Snorkel, The Adventure Guide to Maui's Best Snorkeling. Rich Schieber wrote it, and Sharon Schieber was along for a lot of the preparation. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks a lot, Jefferson.
All right. Take care.
Lots of fun. Thank you.
That'll do it for today's exchange. We'll take a program tomorrow with Opportunity Village Eugene. That'll be at 8 o'clock in the morning. We'll get an update on how things are going in Opportunity Village Eugene. It is Wednesday, so that kindles our Vents Day segment. Sorry to use the word kindle, because one of our topics will be about, given the dry conditions, whether we should consider further rules on fireworks, consumer fireworks. Our other topic for Vents Day, the Supreme Court and its recent decisions. At 9 o'clock, we'll talk to the movie director Gary Lundgren, making movies in Southern Oregon. He's got another one in the works right now. That's all tomorrow on the Jefferson Exchange. Our producer and today's engineer, Charlotte Duren. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Please join us again tomorrow at 8 for another edition of the Jefferson Exchange here on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. And have a great day.